Good afternoon. We'll start with a fictional story. Our family arrived early at services. That's not the fictional part. Some of you know we don't tend to be early. Our family arrived early at services and our kids dispersed. They went among their friends. They sought out people. And it was just Christina and I left. Clearly, we were arguing. Clearly, we were having some issues this morning. We walk in the door and I can see a brother out of my eye. I walk in and Christina goes about her business. And as you can tell, she's upset. I begin to take this brother or to go to this brother because I just noticed that he's listening in on at least a part of the conversation. And I begin to badmouth my wife. I begin to talk down to her, talk down about her, to say things that just because I'm angry, I'm talking about things, definitely her in a negative light. Others are around. They can hear this thing going on. They can hear what I'm saying. And this brother pulls me aside and says, you know, come over here. I just want to talk to you about something. Of course, I'm caught up in the moment. This brother does that. As soon as we're away from listening ears, he says, you know, I understand that you're upset, but that I should not disrespect Christina. It's just not a godly thing to do. Shares 1 Peter 3:7 with me and asks, am I showing honor to my wife? A pause. And then I have a split second decision. How am I going to respond? This is the subject at hand that really sets up what we're going to talk about for the next 30 minutes or so. Receiving correction. In other words, when someone is correcting you, how will you receive that correction? And then ultimately, how will you respond? To clear the air, as I said, and if you didn't catch that, it was a fictional story that was not true. I just wanted to set this up a little bit. That didn't actually happen, and I didn't witness anyone doing that this morning or at no time. But there are definitely opportunities to offer correction, and that's something that I need on a regular basis. And I'm thankful for brethren who can see the fault, maybe the things that are visible in my life, and have been willing to tell me things. And I can think over the years, some people have pulled me to the side to tell me about, you know, brother, have you considered this? Maybe you should go about it this way. I appreciate that. Many moments I personally need correction. And really the question that we want to consider today is how should we receive and how should we respond? And that's how we're going to focus on this. We're going to look at 3 points. First point being the things I need to keep in mind before I respond when I'm receiving correction. The second thing, I want to challenge myself to be the example. And then third, how should I actually respond? And of course, there are many different ways to look at this. I'm only going to look at just the few points that came to me. Point number one, the way that I'm going to respond, I really need to consider some things before I say anything. Let's just say if that story was true. I need to think about some things before I just get ready to spat out something to the brother. I need to keep some things in mind. And first, the brother or sister in Christ who is correcting me, they're acting in a godly way. I need to keep that first and foremost in my mind. That this brother or sister who is willing to say something to me, I'm assuming that they are acting in a godly way. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. We exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. We see the same Greek word for warn come up in another passage as well as in other places. But another place that we'll look at, just one other one, is Romans 15:14 says, but I myself am fully convinced about you, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. The word instruct is where we get this word warn. It's really the same Greek word. It's the same word found in other places as admonish, exhort. And the Greek, it literally means, according to my understanding, is to put in mind. Paul seems to be telling us that Christians are able, they have the knowledge, and they have the right to provide instruction or correction when they see a brother or sister that needs that. Brothers and sisters have the right to do that very same thing. This brother or sister who's correcting must care about my soul. That's maybe something I should assume right off the bat. This person's coming to me. I must consider that they only care about my soul. James 5:20 says, "Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." The context there, though, seems to indicate this person has wandered away. This is someone who has made a decision. They've wandered completely away from the truth versus maybe a slip versus maybe a bad morning or a bad afternoon or evening. But it can still apply. The motive for correction is the same. Someone who tries to get a brother or sister back on the narrow path is ultimately trying to save their soul. That's the only reason a brother or sister would come to you in the first place. They don't want to see you in a lost state. They don't want to see you continuing that same pattern in error. Something else I need to keep in mind is that a true friend is one who is not afraid to say what I need to hear. That's a true friend, someone who is willing to say exactly what I need to hear, not what I want to hear, what I need to hear. A true friend like this is hard to find. I mean, it's difficult to find a friend like that, but a brother or sister in Christ should be this type of friend. We should be that type of friend to others. A brother or sister who is offering correction is just doing what they're called to do and be a true friend. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 5. Says, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." A Christian who is corrects a brother or sister is not doing it out of selfish motivation, but instead humbly moved to put another person first and to show concern. That brother or sister is looking out for our best interest. You know, in the story that I started out with, that person regarding Christina, that brother knew that my disrespect for my wife was not going to end well for me. It's not going to end well for our family, our relationship, and it's also going to be visible for others around. So that brother who was willing to say something was doing the right thing. Not every friend in this world will speak the truth. We have a lot of friends, I'm sure, in our workplace or other places that they're willing to say hi, bye, and some other things, but a brother or sister in Christ should be that true friend, one who is willing to speak up and tell you what you need to hear. We also need to keep in mind that pride will hinder correction. I can be too proud and not be receiving that correction. Proverbs 11:2 says, "When pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom." A humble heart receives correction, but a proud person resists almost any constructive feedback, and it really is to his or her disgrace. It's not something that's good. The last thing I'll mention as we talk about things to consider before responding, does our response really depend on how someone delivers that correction? Does our response depend on how someone is talking to me in the tone of voice? You know, I thought about this a little bit as I spoke to a brother about this, and we both come to the agreement. Ultimately, no. It really doesn't matter. When I'm talking about receiving correction, I'm not talking about giving correction. That's a whole different subject. When we're talking about the receiving end, ultimately, it doesn't matter how that brother or sister comes to me. If I'm in the wrong, I'm in the wrong. It does make it easier, though, to respond if someone comes in a loving way. And that is the responsibility of that person doing the correcting. That is supposed to be how they're supposed to be delivering it, in a loving way. And it does help, for sure, if you're on the receiving end. But really, even a harsh correction deserves some kind of consideration. Maybe this is the way the brother or sister just reacts. Maybe this is just the way that they see something, they're nervous, they just spout it out. It's so difficult for many people to speak up in the first place and not just overlook. It's easy for me, I have to admit. I would rather overlook some things. But really, we're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to call those type of things out and make sure that someone's staying on the right path. So the negative way that their correction is coming across to me may just be the way that they handle a situation, or it may just be my understanding of it. I don't really know. Well, keeping these things in mind before responding may not be easy. It's definitely not easy. In that split second, do I have time to think about all these things? Probably not. But if I think about one or two of these things, that may help me as I get ready to respond to this brother or sister. Let's think about our brethren, though, and try to understand that they're acting in a godly way, that they're just being a true godly friend, and that our pride will get in the way if not in check. And ultimately, it should not matter to me how it comes across. If I'm in the wrong, I'm in the wrong. And it will be a challenge to consider those things first. Challenging ourselves to be the example is also important, and that really leads to the second point. Point number two, challenge yourself to be the example. There are eyes always watching around of how we're going to respond. We know this in the workforce. As soon as you slip up, just wait. They know you're a Christian. They're going to come and, aren't you a Christian? Well, the same is true with brothers and sisters in Christ. If you're among your brethren, people are watching. 1 Timothy 4:12, as it was already quoted earlier, I think it was today, 4:12, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and conduct and love and spirit and faith and impurity. And some of us will not be considered someone currently in our youth. I don't know if I would agree with John that I'm in my youth. We're about the same age. I don't know if I could consider that. You may consider you're a youth. I don't know. We're definitely not all in the leadership position like Timothy was. But the verse before that, 1 Timothy 4:11 says, these things command and teach. So that tells me that that must apply to me as well. I need to be an example in my youth, in my old age, whatever it is. It does apply to me. And Timothy and those doing the work in evangelism are told to be an example, but they're told to teach these things to others as well. And that must apply to me. We need to be an example as well in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Well, this person who is speaking up to me may be providing correction. It may just be they may need correction in the future. I don't really know. Maybe they're providing me correction, but maybe years down the road, there may be a time when I see something this brother is doing that I need to say something. I think they'd be more likely to listen if I'm receiving it in a godly way. If I give them the same respect, I'm sure that it may be a little bit easier for them to take later. As an example, there is a proper attitude to have when receiving correction, and that attitude is humility. It's already been said in timely topics about being humble. We're supposed to be humble. We're supposed to have humility. Having a humble heart when receiving correction, understanding where someone who is, where someone's coming from, doing the correction, where they're coming from, we should just humbly consider that correction, however it's coming across to us. And so I need to think about, how is my humility being on display? How is this being an example? Think about the benefits of being humble. And this is just one passage I found. I think this may have been one that the brethren pointed out as a passage to look at. Proverbs 22:4 says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. This is the reward. It is the reward. By humility and fear of the Lord, receive riches, honor, and life. And this life and the life to come. And I don't think I was talking about financial riches, but instead a rich life. Being proud seems to be an antonym of being humble. And we definitely don't want that example. Romans 12:3 tells us that we're called to put away thinking more highly of ourselves than we should. We instead are supposed to think with sober discernment as to how each one of us has a role in the body of Christ with humility. We're supposed to all think about, how am I supposed to act? Well, since Christians are called to be an example, Titus 2:7, 1 Timothy 4:12, is this really a subject for everyone? Or is it just for some of those bad apples? Just for people like me? You know, something like that. It's definitely not the case. I think we would all agree that this is a subject for all. And that was one point that was brought out in the letter that I received, the email. Is this something that applies to everyone receiving correction? There may be a point in a time of your life where you need to receive correction. If we understand the value of correction when it's being delivered to us, we will gain wisdom. Proverbs 15:31 through 32 says, the ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul. But he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. It's pretty clear cut there. Pretty obvious. Proverbs 15:5 says, "A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent." Another way of saying that latter half of this is that one who listens to correction shows good sense. Just good common sense. Your father is giving you instructions. You listen to it. That just makes sense. Zephaniah 3:1-2 says, "Woe to her who is rebellious and polluted, to the oppressing city. She has not obeyed his voice. She has not received correction. She has not trusted on the Lord. She has not drawn near to her God. Even a whole city and its inhabitants are called in question when they refuse correction." So that definitely tells me that this is a subject for all, for everyone. Well, let's challenge ourselves to be the example by realizing that people are always watching our actions, that there's a proper attitude to have when receiving correction. And the subject of receiving correction is really, it does apply to me and it applies to you. All of us need correction, some of us more than others. Some of us more than others. I think I was sharing with somebody just recently that when I became a Christian, I was so thankful for the brethren that didn't come pound down on all the problems I had in my life. Instead, they looked at me with grace, mercy, and just took me one day at a time. And I think that helped me grow. It helped me grow to be a stronger Christian, and it didn't turn me away. I don't think at that moment when I became a Christian, I had a lot of worldly things going on. I didn't need to hear everything. I just needed a little bit, and I needed to be involved. And as I started coming to services, listening to lessons, brethren presenting lessons, doing this myself, I thought, you know what? There's something to this. I need to study this a little bit more. And over a gradual period of time, it got a lot easier. All of us need correction. And naturally, after preparing our mind and considering our example, we now are prepared to respond to the correction with the best tools. And that really is the last point. As a Christian, how should I respond when being corrected? I've kind of danced around it. I may still dance around it. I don't know. We'll see. I'll let you decide. The world may respond, though. Just think about when you correct somebody that's in the world. I'm just thinking about just in general. When you correct somebody, they can be defensive. They can quickly turn into an act of aggression. A common response is being defensive. That's like the first thing that people do. On some occasions, they may even want to fight. They may want, well, how dare you tell me those things? But how should a Christian act? We should respond with grace and humility, as already mentioned, followed by a decisive change as needed. If it's something that we need to correct and somebody's telling me, even though it may be hard to swallow, I need to just say, I'm going to consider that. And then I need to decide, make my decision and just do it. I need to change. And the reason why I would say that is because of some examples that we have of people of old in the Bible, in the Old Testament. There's two examples that stood out to me, and I just hadn't considered it this way before. One is the example of David. Very familiar story. David, Uriah, Bathsheba, those names all sound familiar. And then the prophet Nathan. 2 Samuel 11:9 says, "Why have you despised..." Okay, this is Nathan talking to David. 2 Samuel 11:9 says, "Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon." The thing we want to look at or focus on or remember is verse 13. So David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." He heard what was wrong. He had a person of God present something to him. He didn't argue. He didn't just go about it. Well, how dare you tell me? Instead, he said, "I've done wrong. I've done wrong." And we know what happens after that. David exhibits a godly response. Another example. And one that I guess I didn't expect. 2 Chronicles 12:5-6. Before I say what it is, I'll just read it. "Then Shemaiah the prophet came to Rehoboam and the leaders of Judah, who were gathered together in Jerusalem because of Shishak, and said to them, 'Thus says the Lord, you have forsaken me, and therefore I also have left you in the hand of Shishak.' So the leaders of Israel and the king humbled themselves, and they said, 'The Lord is righteous.'" This is King Rehoboam we're talking about here. King Rehoboam and the leaders of Judah at that time. They humbled themselves before the prophet of God, Shemaiah, and they made a change. The next verse tells us that because of their humility, they were spared. And the Lord did grant them, it says, some deliverance in the New King James Version. They were granted some deliverance, and they were not destroyed. When responding, we should avoid the unwise action of just dismissing the correction quickly. And that is something that is very easy. I can think of some times when I can think of a time when my wife was trying to point something out to someone in particular, nobody among us, point something out, and they were just super defensive and then just push it to the side. Didn't realize that there was something going on. We have to be careful as brethren not to do that. We don't want to blow off anything that comes to us like that. There must be a reason why this brother or sister is coming to us in the first place. They must notice something. We may not even realize that we're doing something in error. And I think that's usually the case. We may not realize that we've done something so far that, wow, the way I talked about my wife in that moment because of my emotions got over me, I didn't realize I was wrong. Think of Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, and I'll just stop there reading part of that. The Greek for overtaken being used in this place means to take one by forestalling. In other words, this trespass that was being committed that warranted a spiritual person to step in and restore was a surprise, is what it seems to be. In Galatians 6:1, that overtaking any trespass doesn't seem like that. It was something that someone had continued to do, and it was a constant pattern, but instead, it was a surprise. This person was just overtaken. They didn't realize it. Someone deceived them, and they believed whatever that was to then be true. They didn't know what was going on. They didn't even know that something was wrong or anything was wrong with it. Instead, they were possibly caught up in the moment. And you can probably think back your own life, how easy that is and certain things that you've done. Wow. You look back now and you think, that was foolish. I was just caught up in the moment. Finally, though, the last passage, Proverbs 19:20, which is probably one of the more obvious places you would want to look when you're thinking about receiving correction. Proverbs 19:20 says, listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days. If you want to be wise, take the feedback. Do something about it. Listen carefully to those who have walked a mile in your shoes. You know, I'm starting to understand, maybe because I'm getting older, I don't know. Well, I'm starting to understand why older men and women are willing to offer unsolicited advice. And before, I'm like, why are you telling me this stuff? But now I understand, oh, wow, this is why. This is why. It may be because they've made mistakes in their life and they want to share wise words in order to see a person who is in that season of life. They don't want to see that person make that same mistake. They're like, they look back and they realize, wow, if somebody would have told me in the first place this was an error, I would have never have done that. And they're just realizing that. There's some things in my life that I realized that looking back. And they may even think that they would have avoided heartache. I guess the instruction with this last point, please listen to counsel and correction. So just to summarize, just real quick. Things I need to keep in mind, or first point, things I need to keep in mind when receiving correction. First, let's think of the best of our brethren and try to understand that they're just acting in a godly way. Second, they're being the true godly friend that they're called to be. Third, our pride can and will get in the way if not in check. And then ultimately, it should not matter to me how it comes across, as I've already mentioned two other times. If I'm in the wrong, I'm in the wrong. Second point was challenged to be the example. And as an example, we can keep in mind that people are always watching our actions, whether we like it or not. That there is a proper attitude to have when receiving correction, and that's the attitude of humility. And that the subject of receiving correction is really for all Christians, both young and old. And then finally, how should I respond? How should I actually respond? And I should respond with grace and humility, followed by a visible change, like David, like Rehoboam, and like the leaders of Judah. We find examples of men like that for our learning. And don't dismiss the correction that's being offered by someone. They may be telling you for a good reason. And then finally, at least one key to being wise is just simply listen to counsel and receive instruction.